Well, let's get this thing started off. And hey, Danny, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us who you are, what you do? Where are you right now?
Right now, it's none of your business where I'm at.
Welcome to Lava Boys Podcast. Jimmy Cheese Nuts, those are my nuts.
So stupid. So we're not allowed to know where you're at. Is that like really in the contracts that you sign before you go out to do work? Okay, next question. Are you?
What do you do, Danny? So,
yeah.
What do you do?
I train off-road. I train military guys how to drive off-road. And then I'm out. We do trips out in Moab, Utah.
Cool.
And take them out for a week in the desert camping and basically how to drive the car so it doesn't break, how to fix it if it does break, broken axles, U-joints, usually simple stuff, but then sometimes big stuff happens and we got to weld the car up or something. And so we have the ability to weld with car batteries. Everybody does, you know, if you have jumper cables and yeah. You can have some welding rods. So we kind of show them that process.
But give us a little bit of your history though. Your history. Didn't you race like off-road cars like a lot?
We used to ride dirt bikes in Kona, right? And then built a sick little track up on the coffee farm, raced a couple times over in Maui, and then ended up moving to Nevada, and then we started racing desert stuff over there. Like once we moved there and riding desert stuff, it was so fun. Rode some races over there and then ended up building a truck. So fabricated our own truck, a Ford Ranger, full long travel suspension, had 24 inches of travel in the rear, or no, 24 in the front and 34 in the rear. So you could pretty much jump, you could jump it pretty high and it'd feel like you just land like on a couch. Like if you jump down on a couch,
that's like, the Subaru Racing. What's the Red Bull guy, Travis Pastrana, that kind of Ken Block.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those guys. Well, Ken Block now has a trophy truck. So like all the desert racing stuff is like the Baja stuff. So Ken Block now has a trophy truck where he's going to race desert stuff. So real similar to that. Travis has raced a couple times. I know 1 year, they caught a car on fire down there in Baja.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Travis.
Yeah, so it sounds like all the times he's raced. I don't know the full history, but I'm pretty sure they've broken almost every time that they've raced and rolled it and stuff.
So you guys were like on an amateur circuit or you guys do the pro circuit?
We did pro for the truck. And then they have different classes. Mm-hmm. So the class we raced was a class 7, which is a mid-sized truck. So like Tacomas, Ford Rangers, Nissan Frontiers, like the mid-size trucks, and they had to have a V6. You couldn't have a V8. And then, so we raced pro and we ended up winning one of the championships.
So that's really cool. So in addition to that, didn't you like end up doing a lot of test driving or some test driving for some of the, like different types of cars on tracks and stuff like that?
Not exactly test driving. I've done some photo shoot stuff.
Okay. What was the one where the guy got in the car with you and then like there's a reporter or something?
Yeah. Okay. So I've done press events. Okay. So I've done press events before where manufacturers will have us come out. Yeah. And so, hey, he was Asian. We won't name his name. His last name was Wong though, if that gives you any hint. And, basically, I got to make sure I don't say anything because I'm not supposed to, you know, like which car it was, but it's a four door real common car that a lot of people have. That's kind of hot roddy, you know, like, and
Civic SI.
something like that. And we were going around a track and I honestly, it happened so fast that next thing I know, we're in the dirt off the track. I think he got on the gas as we're going through a corner when he's supposed to be on the brakes. And we're probably going about 65 miles an hour. And we're going left. And so he's still trying to get back on the track, even though we're in the dirt. And so since we're trying to go left, we're starting to slide to the left. And I'm looking out the window to my right. And there's a big jump that we're sliding right towards.
So this one sideways. Guy, he's driving.
He's driving, dude. You're, I'm just sitting in the passenger.
Your passenger seat.
Yeah. So that's like, I'm supposed to be there to keep us safe and like make sure we don't crash stuff. Right. So then next thing I know, I'm looking out the side where we're headed, like our car's headed this way, you know, like momentum's taking us towards this jump, but we're steered to the left because we're sliding sideways. And there's this big, like 3-foot berm that they built for rain runoff. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh man, this isn't good. So I grabbed the wheel and straightened us out, at least to straighten us towards the jump. And I'm in the passenger seat. So I kind of leaned over, right, to grab the wheel, and I'm grabbing the e-brake too in the center. And I get this thing straightened out. And to this point, we're probably going 50 maybe, because I think we slowed down a little bit. Once I seen it, I knew we're going to be okay. Just got jumped so much stuff. And once I got it straightened out, I was like, okay, it shouldn't be too bad. Boom. And once we hit the jump, the second we hit it, all the airbags went off because we hit it so hard. And like everything went in slow motion. And I can remember like dust coming out. But since I was in the center of the car, none of the airbags hit me. And I had my knees in the dash, like you wedge them in the dash because you're in there all day. So none of the airbags hit me. And this guy gets smoked. Like the airbag goes off, right? Glasses is all crooked like this. Okay. And so we air it. And kind of come down pretty hard on the front, smash the whole front tire in. I look over him like, you okay? Yeah, glasses all crooked. He's got like road rash on his face because those things hit you so fast.
The airbag, yeah.
And then he's got road rash up his arm because I think the airbag either went up his arm or it went past the steering wheel. And he was like dazed and confused. And it's all smoky inside because of the gunpowder. And the horn's going off. Beep. So I get out, I radio like, hey, shut the track down. You know, we're off track. They all seen like a huge dust cloud and all the noise. So I get out and like, I'm like it, like Eddie Griswold back there, or not Griswold, but like, what's Clark, right? Looking at the jump, like, oh yeah, like 50 yards, you know, like checking it out, like scoping it out, seeing how far we went. Cause we jumped. I mean, we jumped probably like 70 feet.
Jeez.
And
in a truck,
if I had to guess, so far, just from the trajectory, truck. Like we probably went
in a
like
car, they're in a yeah, like 6 or 7 race feet. Car.
Dude, this is a production car,
like a regular.
This is on a job, dude. I was working for this car company. Like these are brand new Corolla. Cars, something along that line. I mean,
on the same
that car, I think had 400 something miles on the odometer.
Yeah, so he texts me like right. He's like texting me from the track, like, dude, check this out.
Well, they were tripping because I was so calm. Because awesome. To me, I had been through that so many times, you know. And they were like, "Oh, are you okay? Like, you know, you want to go back to the hotel?" And I was like, "I'm fine, dude." Like, and I didn't want to say this to anybody else except my one close friend that I was working with there. I was like, "Dude, it was pretty fun." Like. You know, we freaking launched that thing. And but I can tell them that, you know, we had like the clients there and everything. So
that sounds sick, man.
Yeah, that's the only time I've ever crashed a car. It wasn't even me that crashed it. And but that's the only incident I've ever had working. So that's you can really hire cool. me still, you know, anybody out there listening that wants to hire me, I got a pretty clean track record. Pretty clean.
Super safe. Just don't put them in cars with Asians with the last name Wong. Thank you.
I've crashed plenty more cars than Danny.
Just tell us about your Subaru, Kai.
Which one?
Did you crash more?
No, I only crashed one Subaru. Oh,
okay, well, there you go.
Tell us about your superstar daughter that absolutely charges.
Yeah, dude.
My kids are way cooler than I am, that's for sure. She's 6 now, and she just kind of started getting on wheeled things, and she's maybe like 2, and she just kind of really took to them. And so we just kind of cultivated that and got her a ridiculously tiny little dirt bike, electric dirt bike from Oset, and she started ripping around a little mini track I built at our house on that thing and riding BMX. And then she started getting stuff from different companies, like Little Rider. And she got bike from Spawn Cycles. And yeah, OSAT's been really cool to us as well. Like, if you go on their website and stuff, it, for the little kids' mini bikes, it's a bunch of video of her and whatnot. But
is she racing, or what's her plan for her?
No, I mean, there's no class really for that. I mean, they kind of do like those, like Stasic has those races like in between supercross races, but it's not like a real, there's no electric class for anything. So she's not riding a combustion engine bike. She has, but she doesn't really like, they're definitely a lot slower pickup.
Yeah.
So she's all about her little OSAT that she's on now. And that thing, we were just ripping her on it yesterday. She just had some little friends come over and try it. And then she jumped on that thing and everybody just like, what is going on?
I'm all about electric. Olo's favorite bike is a Saran. It supports heavy weighted guys really well. I traded all my gas dirt bikes. I only ride electric now from riding mini bikes at 5 years old, my whole life, always having a dirt bike. And the electric it just blows me away. My dad's bike, he's got this controller, this insanely fast controller and this bigger battery. And I was literally scared to ride his bike. I've never been scared on a dirt bike ever. I couldn't even put it on level 10. I was level 5 and I'm like, I had to stop. I was like, this is too fast. Freaked me out, dude. So freaking fast, so torquey. I'm barely touching the throttle. Like, I'm looking at my hand and it's just wanting to go fast. I'm not even moving the throttle. I'm just looking at it and things just taking off. It's crazy fast, dude. It's almost,
well, I feel like
it's too much, but I like it.
I feel like once they get that dialed, you know, like, especially for things like supercross and stuff, like, you have like this, a power map that is like so optimal for that kind of racing where it's like instant torque would be basically like the key.
Yeah.
You know, like if they can figure out how to tone it down enough to maintain traction, you know,
blasphemy. Nobody wants to see electric bikes in supercross.
Nobody.
We want two strokes back.
Exactly.
Want two strokes back.
Exactly.
Get them to smoke and burn two strokes.
That's the thing.
Yep.
Everybody said no way. Everybody switched to four stroke, and what happened? There's like no two stroke. You know?
They're getting back to the CPIs now with the fuel injected two strokes. Those are bad, dude.
Well, you look at Alta and what they did with Red Bull Straight Rhythm, and
that was cool.
That was a full on like first trial with a rider who's a really good rider, but he wasn't a top guy by any stretch.
That's right.
He wasn't a top guy by any stretch of the imagination. He rips, but like he really showed what the potential for that platform is, and I think it's just a matter of time, you know, and that's all this stuff, you know.
Crypto, Kai Hagi, Cheese Nuts, present. I messed that up. Give me Cheese Nuts, presenting. Give me Cheese Nuts, present. Stop interrupting me. Give me Cheese Nuts, presenting. Jimmy Cheese Nuts presenting Kai Hoggy's Crypto Ripto Surf Report. That's it.
Aloha. This is Kai Hoggy reporting in from Hapuna Bay on this beautiful Monday evening. Here's your crypto surf news update. Let's see what's on the charts. Holy smokes. We got low tide conditions and a swell is dropping heavily. Bitcoin's all the way down to 60,000, while Ethereum's not far off, dropping down to, let's see, 4,200. Looks like the Dirty South, the meme coins, Doge and Shiba, are kind of sitting in that flat swell condition, and we're not seeing any huge drops there. But on the north side, Chainlink is seeing some major, major south swells. That baby is headed down 11%, sitting in that 30-foot range. Well, that's your crypto news update. Everything looks like it's pretty much crap and we're losing money. We'll see you next week on Lava Boys Podcast.
I want to touch on just people's mindset, the people who invest in crypto, and they're a little bit, I feel like a little bit more of a risk taker, you know?
Oh, definitely. calculated risk though. It's all new, right? You got to be willing to jump on what's new and be able to take risk. I like that article actually that you talked about earlier, or that you sent us. That was a good one.
Yeah, we'll have to touch on that.
It's funny because there's like, not to get super nerdy, but there's like a lot of correlation to like people that do action sports and like have mild to severe head trauma and their risk taking after they do that, and like they're more likely to be more successful in risky things because of their lifestyle, and people don't really see the lifestyle having anything to do with it, but actually you can tie it in with basically hitting your head. And no, there's like,
you're more likely to hit like your head, you're more like, likely to be successful in life. I like it.
No, point you're it. More you're more likely to be like
make a shirt. No.
You're more likely to take risks and like have a more like that way of living. But there's obviously a lot of other factors, but they've kind of narrowed it down to like, you know, like even people that are successful in things that are not action sports, they can like see a significant change after they had an accident or whatnot.
Yeah, you guys got to get that parasite cool. that I had. That even increases your risk. It increases your risk taking you even this? More.
your goat parasite?
Yeah.
Gnarly.
It's supposed to make you even more of a risk taker.
When you
yeah, that's a real from thing. A
parasite?
No, I guess it affects some part of your brain or something.
Yeah. No, that's a real thing. That's a real thing. What was it called?
Toxoplasmosis.
Toxoplasmosis. Yeah, they that's one of the things they correlate with risk taking and stuff too.
That is so crazy. Yeah, but I thought that was funny, and I did want to like just go from there. I was going to go into just risks, like people who take risks and stuff like that. And that's why, like with crypto and stuff, I feel like it's more of these just lunatics that, not lunatics, because there's a lot of smart people that obviously invest in it. But
so, Kimo, so all of us here, we're kind of like on a crypto text, and we talk about the different coins and things like that we invest in. And we give each other a lot of crap on the ones that we do invest in. We buy some stupid meme coins. We buy some that should be awesome, but we just do it and we ride on it. Kainoa actually bought some XRP for like a nonprofit organization, which is really cool. He's just sitting it in there and just going to see what happens. What do you invest? Do you have any coin? And what is it? What do you invest in and why?
I just have Bitcoin. That's it. But I don't know anything about it. I don't trade it. I just kind of long-term just put a little bit in there.
Yeah. How'd you first buy it? Like,
well, you guys know in Hawaii, you couldn't get it, right? You couldn't open an account.
No,
in
Hawaii, I don't know.
So you'd have to like, for real,
dude. Like these two guys, this is the only reason that text said start is because these two guys got me into it one night. And then we started.
It was DiGiorno pizza.
These two guys got me into it deep.
Right.
And then so, I took pretty much like all my savings that I have, like my life savings. And it's like, okay, I'm throwing it in.
You know,
it's like, why not, dude?
Best decision you ever made.
It was actually.
You got Bitcoin?
Bitcoin and Ethereum. And then some freaking boats over here got me into Chainlink, and that thing just went like this. Like
Shibu Inu and
flatline. But yeah, I don't know. Like, go into the story of like how you had to buy it and stuff, or why you couldn't buy it in Hawaii.
So my friend, he's a contractor in Minnesota, and he's like the Bitcoin master. I told you about him, Ola. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, dude, I don't even know how many hundreds of coins he has. Like, I guess the rule is you don't talk about how many Bitcoins you have because it's just so valuable. But he got in like so back in the day.
We don't follow those rules.
All he does. Yeah.
We got to shut this podcast down.
Well, hey, he got in super back in the day. but he's always been telling me about it when it was barely worth anything. And he's like, this is the future. And I still don't quite. What I understand about it is it's a valuable asset. Like, I don't treat it as money. I treat it as like gold or something. So I don't spend it. I just keep buying it. I just buy a little bit at a time every week. It just automatically buys it no matter what the price does. So I've been doing that for like a couple of years now, and obviously it went super high, so it's worth more what I put in. But I would say when it was only at like 5,000, maybe less than that, my friend's like, you got to get Bitcoin, just set up an account. And I said, dude, you can't buy it in Hawaii. You cannot get an account in Hawaii. It was only the 48, upper 48. And he's like, you got to get it through the Cash App. So I try to go through Cash App, and it just, there's a weird thing where it would not let you buy in Hawaii. And then somehow he knows the guy, some tech at Twitter. And so he calls the guy, and he's like, dude, my buddy in Hawaii is trying to get Bitcoin, a Bitcoin account set up. He can't do it. And so the guy from Twitter somehow knows the Cash App, because it's all connected, yeah, Cash App and Twitter, and gets me an account. I don't even know how he did it. So I put down like, I think $500 just to have an account. And I bought coin, and then little by little, like, I know what I understand about money is money has no value. There's money. What is money? It's just, it's a tool, right? It's a means to an end. It has a dollar bill has no value. So whatever money is, what we're buying is the next, whatever someone thinks is valuable. So everyone thinks altcoin and Bitcoin and all these crypto coins are valuable. So I'm putting my unvaluable dollars into something that everyone thinks is valuable, hoping to use that one day when the dollar has no value. It's kind of what I understand about
it. That's a good way to put it, so guys. How come you guys never said anything smart like that before?
Because you don't listen. That's why we got started.
That was the most elegant thing I've ever heard. I would have bought way more if he was in part of the conversation originally.
I don't know what it is really. It's, what is it, like ones and zeros? It's a digital thing. Like, they mine it out of computers solving math problems. Mm-hmm. What the hell is that, dude? Like, it makes no sense to me. Makes sense to me of value? Yeah. What valuable to me is something tangible. Like, I want land. Give me real estate. Give me a house. I'll put all my money into that. Because I don't care if money has no value. Land has value.
Yeah.
A house has value.
Yeah.
A dirt bike, whatever, you know, something I can touch. But that's why I never got in the stock market. I'm like, what the heck am I buying? You own 1,000 shares of something that's in the air floating around. I don't understand it. It can make you more money. You buy and sell at the right time. I don't know. So everything I do is, it's all long-term. I don't like anything get rich fast. It's like, what can I do?
Danny's eyes just glazed over down the road.
It's like a long game.
I'm not into this guy anymore.
Dude, we're in it for the millions.
Like, wait, next year. Not fast money. Like, I can't listen to this guy anymore.
Yep. I know. I have, like, every time it goes high, I'm like, I got to sell it. Like, this, it's time. This thing's going to dump.
It's low.
Boys. I don't even
today,
watch it.
It took a $3 dump. We got to buy today, guys.
I don't even check. I have a little bit of Bitcoin, but I don't.
Don't break the rules.
Don't break them.
I know.
Are you in
It goes up because everyone's talking about it, but I don't check it every day. I keep buying it automatically. It's like $100 a week. I buy it no matter where it goes up or down. And it just puts it in an account, but I don't even check it because it just goes up and down so much. I don't even worry about it because it feels like it's real estate. It goes up and down, but it ends higher than the last lowest point. Yep. Then it go up and down again. Then it ends higher than that other point. It seems like it just keeps going up.
Well, you're a true believer.
Professional, smart people say
that speculate. They're not true believers. No, but for real, like if you're shorting something, like a lot of people are trying to make money off of shorting stuff. Danny.
I'm in, boys. I'm in deep.
But you're right. Like it's the long game, and
I'm getting my $100 in this week.
That's why some of us have just bought and just held through all the chaos. You know, like that.
Yeah.
It's what it is. It's like when you hit that little button, says like what it's done in 24 hours. It's like, and then it's like, oh, what it's done in a week. It's like, it's like what it's done over a year.
Yeah,
it's
but you know what? Like,
you check the year and you check the month. Yep.
Yeah. That $800 though, that like I originally, that one I just had, I got paid for that job, is sitting in Venmo.
Yep.
I did. I like played with that one. I was like, okay, I'm going to buy some weird shit. And like,
you bought Amp, right?
I bought Amp, which sucked. Yep. And then Litecoin, dude, I got Litecoin. That was like the only one I ever gotten. It's just like, whoo, right away, like just zooming to the moon. I was like, well, I bought one. Okay, they're $200. I bought one of them and it went to like 290 and I sold it right before, like timed it perfect. And then the thing kind of dumped, but that $800 is now $1,000.
That's
like, yeah, dude. And I'll probably lose it though.
You keep trying to pull it out.
All good though.
Just a friendly reminder out there that Lava Boys Podcast does not give any financial advice. It is for entertainment purposes only. Anybody who takes this serious has serious problems.